Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? Would you grab your Bible, turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, just want to read a couple of scriptures, one out of Proverbs, one out of John. Proverbs 22 verse 3. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Let the simple keep going and suffer for it. Let me read it again. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and they suffer for it. Then would you turn over to John chapter 16. Just want to read two verses, verse 12 and 13. And this is Jesus speaking. If you have red letter edition, this is all red. Beginning of verse 12, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And listen to this. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Father, I thank you again for your word, and I thank you for your Spirit that causes your word to come alive. I thank you that because of you, we are able to understand things of the kingdom that with a natural mind would never be understood. Holy Spirit, before we begin, I ask again that you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I would only say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity and I command it to be silent. I command it to release every person in this place, be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking and your children are hearing your voice. Thank you today that you are going to be saying things in here that are not going to come out of my mouth. I thank you that your children will hear you. They will know it's you. They will capture it and they will be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you at any time can change everything. So thank you in advance for what is going to happen today as you speak and your word will not return void. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen. This morning I want to begin by asking you a question. In these days that we are living in right now, with what you are sensing in your own spirit and with what you are hearing around you, both from Bible teachers and preachers and those who function in the prophetic, also from believers around you in church and out in the community, other believers you know, I want to ask you, how many of you have a leaning in your spirit that something is coming in the near future that requires a level of preparedness in your life? How many of you have a sense? Just raise your hand if there's a leaning. Quite a few of us. What I want to share with you this morning is not a, and I want you to hear this clearly, this is not a thus saith the Lord message. Although, I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit, like always, laid it upon my heart to share with you today, but like always, and I want you to hear this, whether you're sitting under my teaching, my counseling, my preaching, and not just me, anybody that you listen to for that matter, doesn't matter who they are, it is a matter of not just taking what you're hearing and doing it. It's a matter of taking it to the Lord and going, Father, what do I do with this? Is this from you or not? Can I tell you, there is a lot of stuff that comes from prophets, so-called prophets. When you take to the Lord says, have nothing to do with that. That is not me. Can I ask you, did that happen in the Old Testament? Yes, it did. Is it happening today? You bet it did. Can I ask you bluntly, are there sermons that are being preached today in churches, Christian churches, where if you took what the pastor was saying, you would be 180 degrees contrary to Scripture? Do you agree? Let me say it again. It is a matter, I don't care if you read it, I don't care if you hear it. It is a matter of you taking it to the Lord and saying, Father, what do you say about this? And if the Lord says, yes, you do it, you're doing it because of Him. And then you're 100% in line with the will of God. Only then do you do it. Not ever because someone tells you that that's what you should do. What I want to share with you today comes out of a few things. As a married couple, and some of you might remember this with our own family, this is something that we are feeling led by the Spirit of God to be doing in these days we're living in. In conversation with a number of you from the church, in fact, quite a number of you in the church, we are hearing that you, many of you, are also feeling led to be doing what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm listening to a number of Bible teachers and preachers out there, spiritual leaders in our day. We are hearing that the Holy Spirit is leading them to a sense of preparedness in this day. And I got to tell you one thing that just is kind of shocking to me. I'm also hearing it from non-believers. I'm also hearing it from the political all the way down to the homes, even with non-believing people. I'm hearing that people are going, you know, in these days, we are feeling led to do this and do this and do this. A sense of preparedness. I believe they're being led by the Lord, even if they don't know the Lord. But you'll understand what I'm going to talk about in a minute. There is a strong sense that there is an element of preparedness that is important to put in place in the days that we're living in. And I want to emphasize this again. I don't want you to do anything based on what I say this morning. Not a single thing. I want to make that disclaimer right off the hop. Don't you do anything based on what I say without taking it to the Lord. And can I say, if you go to the Lord and the Lord says, you need to hear that and you need to apply that, you do it. If you go to the Lord and the Lord says, I don't want you to do anything, be obedient to that too. So you need to hear what the Lord is saying and be obedient. Can I make that any clearer? Or is that pretty clear? Pretty clear? Okay. Good. I want to tell you what the Father used to wake Jane and I up a lot of years ago that He began putting in place, and we have been working on and building in place ever since that time. But I want to tell you, it was a wake-up call. Some of you will remember this. Some of you may not remember it. How many of you remember the winter of 1998? I know I'm going back a whole year, right? A whole century. 1998, the winter when we heard about the Quebec ice storms. How many of you remember anything about that? Quebec ice storms, 26 years ago. I will remember like it was yesterday. The ice storm hit in Quebec. The power lines, the trees took down power lines in a large part of Quebec. And I believe the number was leaving over 300,000 people stranded because they had no power in their home for a period of over 3 weeks. 3 weeks they had no power in the middle of winter. And as a result of that, let me ask you, if that happened here, 3 weeks with no power in your home, can I ask you what... If you had no alternate heat source, can I ask you what would happen in your home? What would happen? Just quick. Freeze up and? Water lines freeze up and? Split all throughout the house? And would you be able to stay in your home or would you have to leave? You'd have to leave. I gotta tell you, 1998. We were living in town here. We moved here in 94 and we began. 1998, we moved to town. Our children at that point, Malachi was 8, Zach was 5, Samantha was 2. We were living in our home. We were listening to the Quebec storm thing happening, and Jane and I began asking and realized, if this happened to us, and can I just ask you, do we have winter here? Maybe not ice storms the way they have there. Have any of you experienced any period of time where you've had no power in your home in winter? Just raise your hand if you... All of us have had that. What woke us up is in our home with three little children, we realized that we would have to leave our home because we had no alternate heat source. We recognized that if we came back and extended for a long period of time and our home froze, it would happen in our home that happened in a pile of their homes. Everything would split, water lines, we would have to tear and redo everything. We realized we were in that spot. That year, I'll tell you, shortly after we heard all about the Quebec ice storm, the whole deal, we decided to put an alternate heat source. That was the first thing we did, an alternate heat source inside of our home. I don't want to ask you, but I just want to ask how many of you, just think in your head, how many of you have an alternate heat source inside of your home? We put in a wood-burning stove. We put it in, and I want to tell you what we did on a cold winter night. It was minus 25, minus 30. We shut our furnace off. And we cranked on our heat stove. And for 2 days, we went in our home as though we had no power. We didn't use electricity, didn't use our furnace, didn't use running water. We wanted to find out in 2 days of living in our home at minus 25, minus 30, with our wood stove, if we could function. And I want to tell you, during that period of time, we did our cooking on and inside of our stove. We as a family slept in the living room in front of the stove at nighttime. Throughout that period of time, I kept going to the far corners of our house, and I'll just tell you, and I got to say it in Fahrenheit because we're still there in the mindset, we went to the farthest bedroom in our upper level, away from where the fireplace, it was 61 degrees. Pretty good. Went down into the basement, at the far corner of the basement, from where our stove was up on top, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Long way from 32 or zero, right? After that period of time, we realized, you know what, we would be okay. With our little children, if something happened, we'd crank on alternate heat source, we would be okay. We would not have to leave our home, and we would not come back to a house where everything was split and all the damage done and have to rebuild. We saw what happened in the natural in Quebec. What could happen as a result of the natural here, and we wanted to be prepared. But I want to ask you, today, with what's going on in our world, if I were to ask you the need for preparedness, is it mostly because of natural things that we're anticipating are coming, or is it because of unnatural things that could happen and hit our world? Can I ask you, in you, which is the greater for preparedness? The natural or the unnatural? The unnatural. And I just want to say this. Why when there's a disaster or storm, do they call it an act of God? Why don't they call it an act of Satan? The insurance company should go, you experience an act of the devil. Shouldn't they do that? We won't get into that today, but it's not God who does that stuff. Act of men. The sense is, and I want you to hear this, we're experiencing it, we're hearing it in you, we're hearing it all around. The sense is something is coming, and possibly in the not too distant future. And again, I just want to say, don't take my word. If you go to the Lord and the Lord says, we're good for another 300 years, just carry on status quo, phone me, would you? But for those who have an element of preparedness, if something happens, natural or unnatural, there will be much less of a negative impact than if there's no preparedness. We could talk about all kinds of things. We could talk about war. There was a lot of talk about the Middle East blowing up in war. We're talking about America getting involved in things, and if that happens, that could affect. There is much talk about a new pandemic. I think you're all aware in November, they're talking about the Warburg virus being released, 88% mortality rate, double the spread of the COVID-19. That talk has been around for I don't know how many months already. November. We could talk about recession and depression. They're talking about heading into. We could talk about a bunch of things that could be happening. But if that happened, something happened naturally or something happened man-made, I just want you to think about this. If all that happened is we lost our power, if that's the only thing that happened is we lost our power, not just for a few hours, in the wintertime, if it was over a longer period of time, and that would mean, and you know it, that would mean no heat, no water, no banks, no grocery store, no freezer, no fridge, no fuel. I want to ask you to ask yourself the question, how prepared would we be? If it happened in a moment, how prepared are we? First of all, to look after your own family, and that would be the first, I'll tell you straight up, but the second of it is, I believe, as believers, if this kind of thing were to happen, I believe we're not just to tuck in and look after ourselves. I believe what an amazing opportunity for those of us who are prepared to begin reaching into the lives of people who are not prepared and demonstrate God's kindness, God's goodness, God's blessing as an opportunity and a witness of what's going on in this world. The Bible says the wise man sees what's coming and prepares in advance for it. Let me tell you what it's called. You know this. It's called the Joseph Principle. The Joseph Principle. If you don't know it, that you're, there's probably something you should learn, but I want you to think about this. And I just want to say this off the top. There are some, when you hear people talk about preparedness, there are some who are going to come to you and go, you know what, you're just fear-mongering. You know, you're just functioning in fear. As a believer, God will just look after you, and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to prepare nothing. So if you're talking about this stuff, that is all fear-based. Can I tell you, I believe it's exactly the opposite. The Joseph Principle is faith-based. The Joseph Principle is this, and we know it. God, through the Pharaoh, revealed that for 7 years there'd be plenty. For 7 years there will be devastation, famine. And so he said, in that seven-year period of time, you prepare. Now, I want you to think about this. How wise would it have been if God said, in a period of plenty, do nothing, and when it comes to famine, I'll just look after you? How wise would that have been? I believe the Joseph Principle is completely faith-based on obedience. God is saying you have a period of preparation, knowing that a season of lack may come. That's not fear. That's faith. The Joseph Principle. So this morning I want to share with you two levels of preparedness. First is a physical. And I'm sure much of this is not new. I know it's not new to many of you, as many of you are already well ahead in the whole preparedness of with what's coming. The second is the spiritual. I'll do that in a bit. First of all, let's talk about the practical. I want to just share with you seven things. We're going to throw them up on the screen. Like I say, most of this is not going to be new, but I need to just throw it out there and share a couple things with you. The first one is this, the alternate heat source. The alternate heat source. If power went out in the cold of our winter, how would you keep your residence, how would you keep it warm and keep it from freezing? How would you do that? First of all, so it wouldn't freeze up, and second of all, so that you wouldn't have to leave your house unattended. I just, as the Lord and I were talking about this, I got to just tell you, interject a little bit here. How many of you remember last year? And how many of you remember last year when the fires were sweeping through Alberta and they had to evacuate Drayton Valley? How many of you remember that? Drayton Valley. How many of you remember what happened one day after the authorities evacuated, the entire town or city of Drayton Valley was completely empty? What happened the next day in Drayton Valley? Anybody remember? Robbery. The looting began. In that period of time, and they didn't find it out for a couple days, in that period of time, looters went in because they knew it was empty, evacuated, home to home, business to business, the entire community was looted. I wish we could say we live in a world where people are trustworthy and look after one another. I think you have to take a certain kind of medication to believe that anymore. The truth is, the reality is, we don't. That is why, and you heard it too, this past year when the fires were up north and they were evacuating communities, they were evacuating farms, evacuating acreages, the amount of people who stayed in spite of the fire, sent their families and they stayed on their properties because they go, I would rather deal with a fire than deal with the looters who are going to come and destroy our home, our property, our animals. I'm not leaving. Tell me how crazy that is. I could tell you story after story of what is going on around our community in the rural areas. But we need to think. Getting back, in our climate, for 6 months of the year, we have winter. But at any time, if there was a man-made event that knocked our power out, would you be prepared to preserve your home and prepared not to leave your home unattended? Alternate heat source. Would you write down number two? Would you write down just water? If the power went out and the taps stopped running, where would you get your water from? Where would you get it? A couple of weeks ago, Jane and I were listening to Annette Capps. Anybody know the name? Charles Capps' daughter. She's got a ministry. We were listening to her talk about some of this, and she just made the statement. She goes, you can live without food for 40 days. How many of you have done that? 40 days, no food. Yeah. A few of us have done that. Let me just say, you can go 40 days and not die. A couple of us are proof of that. How many days can you go without water? Three. That's what she said. 40 days, you can go without food. So if you have no food stored up, you'll at least be able to go 40 days before you die, steal from someone else, get it wherever. You got 40 days. With water, you got three. And she made the statement, she says, at 1 gallon a day, when you're talking preparedness, she goes 1 gallon a day per person in your home. If you had to go for 30 days, how much water is that you need to prepare? I gotta say this, when we were listening to her, it was kind of interesting. She made a talk and she says, staff, I got to tell you that a number of weeks ago when I shared this message with you, she goes, the Lord convicted me and said that this is a word not just for staff. She goes, we needed to say it again in order to get it broader out there. She goes, I'm glad I shared it with you. She goes, but God said this is much broader. If you get a chance, listen to it. Preparedness. I want you to think about water storage, short term, long term. Ask the Lord about it. Number three, would you write down food? I want you to think right now, if the power went out, if you had no fridge, no freezer, in fact, everything in the fridge and freezer spoiled, you couldn't buy from a store because they were closed up, how long, with the food that you have, how long would you be okay? Can I ask you, what is the religious group that has been on top of this actually from their inception? The Mormon Church. What have they done? What's their rule? Every Mormon does this, by the way. How long do they have total preparedness, water and food? How long does every Mormon already have stored up in preparation for what might come? How long? 2 years. Let me just say, in this short period of time, get some Mormon friends. That's what I would say. That could be your plan of preparedness. I got a couple Mormon friends that if we go down, they're good, I'm going to go hang with them and they'll invite me in. It's not a good plan. 2-year supply. We could talk about all the reasons that they do it and the reasons for their preparedness, but there is a reason. If your ears are open at all, and I think it's fascinating, the resurgence of canning, the resurgence of food preparedness is exploding in these last few years like we haven't seen since I was a kid. And it's not just older people who are doing it, who did it when they're... Do you know the amount of young people who are learning to can, to prepare, not freezer, because if it goes, it's gone, so that it will last? I don't think that's by mistake. Shut the power off. Shut the fridge off. Shut the freezer down. Close the grocery store. These people are going, no problem. No problem. Families with 4, 6, 8, no problem, because they're prepared. I just want you to ask the question. If everything shut down now with what you have, how long would you be good, not just for you, but if others began coming to your home, how long would you be good? Would you write down number 4? Would you write down medication? For those of you who aren't on any medication, this is not an issue. And there are some. Some of us here aren't on any medication. Praise the Lord. But for many people, the question has been asked, if what would happen if you could not get medication? Everything closed, everything shut down, and you had no access for 3 to 6 months. Would you be okay with what you have in preparedness with your meds? For most people, the answer would be no. For the vast majority of people, senior and otherwise, they are in a month to month. 30 days is the longest that most people would be prepared for. It would be wise to ask the Lord, first of all, for healing. Now, wouldn't that be the best thing? Father, would you heal me so I don't need meds? That would be the best. But after that, to say, Father, what is wise here in this area? In preparedness, what do you want me to do? Just ask him. Would you write down number 5? Would you write down fuel? Don't raise your hand here. How many of you have been hearing the encouragement out there, secular media, Christian media, telling people, don't ever let your fuel tank go below half, because if something happens, you need to have at least some fuel to move from where you are to where you want to be. Don't ever let your tank go under half for that reason. I will ask you, how many of you have been hearing that out there? Some of us are hearing it. How many of you are hearing, keep your tank full and keep extra jerry cans available just in case? How many of you have been hearing that? Yeah, some of us are hearing it. Fill them up. Keep them in storage. Every 3 to 6 months, dump them in your vehicle. Go fill them up with fresh fuel. If you have a generator is good only how long? Till you run out of fuel. Because when the fuel runs out, so does your alternate source of power. There are some incredibly creative ways that people out there are storing up fuel these days, and many are storing it up significantly. Ask the Lord. Ask him, first of all, if that's something you should be doing, and if it is, ask him, Lord, how do you want us to do that? If I had to get my family with my children away from where we are someplace else, What do I have to do it? Would you write down number 6? Would you write down money? Can I ask you, what would happen if the banks closed? You couldn't go to the bank and you couldn't get any money. What would happen if the power went down and you couldn't go to the ATM and just Isn't it the craziest thing? You drive up, you punch a button, money just comes to you. Isn't that crazy? That's almost as crazy as taking your phone and just scanning it and money disappears from your account. I couldn't believe it when we first saw it in Kenya. That's where it was developed. And now it is spread everywhere. I still don't know how to do it. I won't. What would you do? What if you weren't able to use a credit card or a debit machine because there was no power to run them? What would you do? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are dependent on debit machines? Don't raise your hand. Some time ago, we heard a third person talking about this whole area, and they made a statement I thought was really quite profound. They said, if it ever comes down to the time where there's no access from banks, from machines, no credit, no debit, and there's still the need to be able to get things from people or trade things, they said the greatest thing money-wise will be to have a supply of loonies and toonies and fives and tens. If you're having to give in order to get something and you have a 50 or 100 and they have nothing to give back to you, you're losing that entire amount in order to get your small thing. If you have the small amounts, if it only is $4 worth and you give them a five, that's not a small loss. Have you ever thought about that? Most people, many people over the years have encouraged people not to keep all their money in the banks. Just want to say that again. Many people over many years have encouraged people not to keep all their money in the banks. How many of you were alive during the 20s and 30s? How many of you are alive? Mary, when were you born? 36, yeah. My dad was born in 23. Interesting to talk to people who were alive back then because they understand what the Depression was, what the Recession was. They understand what run on banks was. They understand when there was nothing available. Do you realize that during COVID, Canada experienced a run on the banks? Do you realize that? Anybody remember why the run on the banks happened? It was fear on a single word that our prime minister communicated. Do you remember what it was? As a result of the trucker thing in Ottawa, he declared a state of national emergency, which meant they could freeze all of the bank accounts in Canada, seize any funds that they needed in order to deal with the emergency that was at hand. He made the statement on a Monday evening. On Tuesday, there was a run on the bank. By Tuesday evening, there was so much pressure in the federal government. Wednesday, he recanted the emergency order and turned things back to normal. Billions of dollars left the banks on that Tuesday as people were afraid of the comment, they're shutting down the banks and there will be no asset. They will seize your funds. I don't know if you remember that. That was quite a deal. But I want to encourage you. The statement is, if something happens to the bank, do you have a reserve? Is there a place where you have funds, a safe place outside the bank? I'll tell you, there's some people haven't thought about it. There's other people who are fully prepared if that ever happened. But I want to encourage you, go to the Lord. In these days, go to the Lord, ask Him concerning money, concerning what the banks, concerning what could come. God, what do you want us to do? If He says nothing, I've got lots of ravens that will bring you money. Go get a fish, open its mouth. If that's what He says to you, believe it and walk in faith. But if He says to you, Joseph Principal, you're in a season where you have the ability to put away for a time where there may be nothing, be obedient to that too. And let me say it again, not out of fear, out of faith, out of preparedness, being prudent, looking to the future at what might be coming and being prepared for it. That's the physical. That's the natural. Let me share with you three things on the spiritual side. And if you have these three things in the spiritual side, all of those natural ones would be looked after because you will hear very clearly. Would you write down number one on the spiritual side, spiritual preparedness, number one, be solid in the word. Be solid in the word. I just want to say to you this morning, those of you who are listening, those, if you are a dabbler, if you are a part-time Bible reader, if you are a hit and miss in your devotion, if you are at a point where that word of God is not front and center in your life, I want to encourage you, this is a time to become solid in the word. And I'll just ask you, does just being a Christian guarantee in this world, with all that's going on, just being a Christian will guarantee that you are not going to be deceived and not fall away and not will be seduced by doctrines of demon? Does being a Christian guarantee you of that? It has always been. But we are living in a day where there is a great deception that is taking place in the church. We know that. That is affecting millions of lives. We know that. We all know people who've been affected. People who are Christian who have been deceived. Either they are in a cult now, or they've gone woke, or they are totally carnal. I believe the design of the enemy in these days is to get believers away from the word. If he can get them away from the word, everything else is easy. If they're away from the word, vulnerable to doctrines of demons that will lead them astray. I want to just ask you two names this morning. Anybody here know the name Glenn Beck? Glenn Beck. How do you know his name? Tell me. Yeah, used to be a newscaster. He got fired right now. He's got an incredible following out there. Very conservative, very anti-establishment, very anti-globalist, very anti-liberal, but very Mormon. Jane and I were listening to an interview Tucker Carlson did with Glenn Beck just the other day. Great interview, had some amazing things to say, lots of things we agreed with, but I want to tell you, if you weren't solid in the word, you would have been influenced by his Mormon theology that came through that interview with incredible subtleness. I said to Jane, I said, I wonder how many Christians have listened to this interview and think he's Christian. Glenn Beck. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have heard of the Pope? Just raise your hand. You've heard of the Pope. Did you hear his last statement this past week? Did you read it? Did you hear it? Let me tell you. This is condensing what the Pope said in a longer statement. This is what he said. All religions of the world are valid. They have the same God, just different expressions. Whether you are Muslim or Mormon or Jewish or Buddhist or Christian, it doesn't matter. All of them are valid. This is the official Catholic Pope edict. Let me ask you a question. 1 billion Catholics, planet Earth, 1 billion. How many will go, that was the Pope, he speaks for God, that is right, we are going to embrace and do what he says? Or how many went, I know the word of God, and what he said is a doctrine of demons, it is not biblical, it is not truth, and I can no longer be Catholic? Can I tell you? I believe that any person grounded in the word would not have waited till this statement to go, I can no longer be Catholic. Because he has made statement after statement after statement that have not been biblical for how long a period of time. But I ask the question, how many Catholics, based on that statement, will turn their membership in and go, I got to find something biblical? I hope there's lots. I'll tell you my honest thought. I don't think there'll be many. To be prepared, we need to be grounded, grounded, grounded in the word, grounded in the word. We need to know the truth, so when something that is not the truth crosses our path, whether it's Glenn Beck or the Pope or the pastor, we go, that is not the truth. Church, much of the church is falling away today. Would you write down number two? Would you write down solid in prayer? And then write down number three. I'm going to talk about it together. Number three, solid in listening and hearing. Let me tell you what you know. The sons of God are those who say the Lord's Prayer. The sons of God are those who recite the rosary. The sons of God are those who've been baptized as an infant. The sons of God are those who take communion. The sons of God are those who have a Bible and even periodically read it. The sons of God are those who call themselves Christian. Those are the sons of God, correct? No. Let me narrow it down for you. Unless Jesus is a liar, the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. That's it. I don't care if you've got Christian branded on your forehead. There's a pile who do. Just like there was a pile of Jews who were circumcised, but they were no longer following God. I will never forget, as a young believer, I sat in a church in Edmonton, listened to the story of Tom Egham, who was one of the guys who smuggled Bibles into Russia. I've told you that story a long time ago, but I will never forget, they found the home where they were supposed to take the Bibles to, and they took them to a meeting out in the bush a couple days after they were there. At the end of the meeting, they went back to the home, and the next day, they were just talking, and they said to the father of the home, it's just the father and the son who was there, the next day he said, how do you guys know where to meet? He said, at the meeting where we were at, nobody said the next place, nobody said the time, nobody said where the meeting was at. He says, how do you guys know? He made the statement, the father made the statement and said, we used to do that. He said, we used to say at the meetings where it's going to be, what time. He says, we used to do that. He said, the KGB found out about it. He goes, the vast majority of our church was taken to prison. They're in prison now. So he said, we realized that we couldn't announce it. And so what we decided is that the Holy Spirit would have to tell people when and where. And unless you heard from the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be showing up at the meeting. So Tom Egham said they were sitting there one evening, a couple days later, they were having supper together. All of a sudden, the father put down his fork, put down his knife. He said, we got to go. They said, okay. They got up. They followed him. He went down the street, went down a back alley, went up, went across, went around the whole deal. They went into an apartment, walked through the apartment, knocked on a door, opened up the door, and here inside was all the people who were gathered their last meeting. They were worshiping. They were singing. They walked in the door. He said, I have never been so convicted of needing to hear the voice of the Spirit like I was that day. I want to ask you a blunt question. If the Spirit of God spoke to you and told you a time and a place in order to avoid something and be in a place, how many of us are certain we would hear it and be obedient and go there? I got to tell you, when I heard that as a young believer, it planted inside of me such a hunger to hear the voice of God. I wouldn't want to miss that meeting. But I don't want to miss being Spirit-led in the days we're coming into. Church, we got to hear. You tell me one saint that you have ever read about in history who did not have a notable prayer life, who carved out hours and days in their life to spend in prayer, to connect with the Father, hearing His voice, being obedient. You tell me one saint who didn't have that. Church, we got to be solid in prayer. Nobody is able to make that happen in my life. Nobody can make that happen in your life. There is no elder who's going to knock on your door and find out if you spent your hour with the Lord that day, found out what He told you and you. Nobody's going to do that. But I believe the greatest preparedness is when we are with the Father in prayer, and then we are hearing. If we are hearing from the Lord, let me tell you, all of those other natural things, we'll hear them and be looked after. When Tom Egham said that day, he said, we are going to go smuggle Bibles into Russia. He went over to Holland. They trained under Brother Andrew, and he said, for 6 months, all we did was learn how to hear the voice of God. When I heard that, it planted inside of me, I can learn how to hear the voice of God? We need to hear the voice. We need to hear instruction. We need to hear warning. We need to hear strategy. We need to hear the rhema words to navigate through these times, church. We need to hear. Someone once said this. They said, don't ever wait till the storm hits to start building your house. You know what that means? If you know a storm is coming, you build your house ahead of time. If you know the flood is coming, you build the ark ahead of time. If you know that times of deception are coming, you build your hearing clarity ahead of time. Be solid in the word. Be solid in prayer. Be solid in listening before the storm. So when it comes, our house will stand. And can I tell you, I believe in the latter days, when the world is unraveling, houses and families and couples that are standing in preparedness are going to stand out like lighthouses with people who are desperate and filled with fear and anxious and not knowing what to do or where to go. That might be their last ditch to turn in our direction, to come to know the Savior and be saved before the end. Wouldn't that be a harvest? I want to encourage you again. Take all this to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Talk about food. Talk about money. Talk about medication. Take it to the Lord. You don't even need to take this to the Lord. Be solid in the word. Don't even take that to the Lord. I'll tell you what he's going to say. Proverbs 27:12. Let me say it again. The prudent, the wise, they see danger and they take refuge. The simple, keep on going. Unprepared. And they suffer for it. Zach, can I have you come? Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? I got to tell you, I fully anticipated in sharing this message when God laid in my heart, I fully anticipated that there is going to be some who criticize, some who accuse me of drumming up and fear and doing the whole deal. I went to the Lord about that. And I said, Father, you're laying on my heart for me to share this during this period of time. How do I handle that? And the Lord said this. It's a calling if nothing happens and people are prepared. They can just use whatever they prepared in their normal, regular life. Nothing will be lost. Nothing will be missed. But if people aren't prepared and something happens, they're going to wish they heard a message that encouraged them to go to the Lord and ask Him. And in obedience, begin to prepare. Father, again, you have told us that we are never to be led by fear. And I want to thank you. The Joseph principle is not fear-based. It is faith-based. Jesus, you said when your Spirit comes, he would be telling us of things to come before they happen, so we're not caught off guard like the world. You told Noah a flood was coming, and he prepared. In the day that we are in, Father, we are sensing, there are many sensing that something is coming. And I thank you that you are speaking that word out there. I thank you, you are laying upon the hearts of those who are bold enough and willing enough to speak it, to teach it, to preach it, and allow people to take it to the Lord and reject it, or listen to it and begin. Father, I want to release a grace in this place today. Father, when we talk about needing to be led by you, needing to hear your voice, Father, I release a grace in here today that the spiritual hearing ears of every person would become more sensitive than they have ever been. You would give us the power to distinguish between what is us and what is the enemy and what is you. You would allow us to know when you are speaking into our spirit and we go, God, thank you for telling me. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for giving me the strategy. I'm so thankful that hearing is not the exception. You have said all down through time that your sheep, they would hear your voice. And so I release a grace of spiritual hearing in this place today. For those who struggle in this area, Father, would you give them such a heart and passion? We can learn, we can grow in this area. But I thank you that you want us to hear with the same clarity Jesus did in the days that we are in. Because I believe that you have an agenda for the sons of God in these days, and we don't want to miss it. Father, as we come to you, as we begin asking you about things, as we begin saying, God, what do I do about this? What do I do? Should I be setting aside? Should I? Lord, as we come, I want to thank you in advance that you will speak. And I thank you in advance that we will hear. And I want to thank you that if you're asking us to prepare, you are going to give us what we need in order to prepare. The times of plenty for the time of lack. And I ask again, Father, in this place, that this would not be all about just looking after me, looking after my family. Father, I pray that you would plant inside of us such a revelation of the impact that our preparedness could have on a lost and desperate and floundering world. Father, we're making ourselves prepared to be used by you. And so I'm asking in this preparedness that you would take it to overflow. Father, seal what was from you today. What was not from you, let it be forgotten. But I thank you again for giving us your Spirit who tells us of what is going to come, so we are not caught off guard. If you are here today or you are listening, and as you have heard me speak, you recognize that, yeah, you may have gone to church. Yeah, you may have a Bible. Yeah, you may pray through the rosary, but there has never been a time when you have prayed to receive Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And in this time, you are going, that's where I need to begin. I just invite you to pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and for rising again from the dead. I ask you now to come into my life. Would you be my Savior and forgive me of all my sin? And would you be my Lord and lead me by your Spirit? I give you permission to work in my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Today you have been born again. Congregation, would you stand with me this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord? As I bless you today, I want to remind you that in speaking these words from God, he is putting his name on you in order that he might bless you. So the Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And in these days in this world, fill you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. His name is on you. Be prepared to be blessed. And everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.